At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
1-800-Flowers.com knows that a gift is never just a gift. A gift is an expression of everything you feel and helps build more meaningful relationships. 1-800-Flowers takes the pressure off by helping you navigate life's important moments by making it simple to find the perfect gift. From flowers and cookies to cake and chocolate, 1-800-Flowers helps guide you in finding the right gift to say how you feel. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/audio. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/audio.
You're listening to Broncos for Breakfast with Nick Kendall and Scott Kennedy.
Welcome in, welcome in. It is unfortunately not another victory Monday, a loser Monday for Broncos country. That's okay. 3-3 falling to the Los Angeles Chargers coming off the bye, and unfortunately a game that was probably not as close as the final score indicates, but hey, you know, like to see the team claw back and fight back. I am Nick Kendall, joined by Scott Kennedy. This is Broncos for Breakfast. Scott, how you doing? I hope you feel a little bit more rested than I do, because I am exhausted. God.
Yeah, it was a pretty easy week. I thought I was going to go to Six Flags with the daughter, but ended up not going. I dropped her off, so they had to have, that was like a first time, like, hey, we get to go off on our own type thing. So kind of a big deal for them, which meant I got to come home and watch college football. And be rested, and then watch NFL all day yesterday. So rested, feeling good today. Feeling good today, y'all. So lots of energy, good and caffeinated from Lion Coffee. Here we are.
I need more Lion Coffee for sure. But I was up yesterday. Saturday night. Went to bed at 10. Up at 12:15. Out the door at 1 a.m. Drive 3 hours to the North Cascades and climbed Black Peak, which was a 12-mile, 5,400-foot climb, and a lot of it was a boulder field scree. And class four at the end. So made it to the summit. Beautiful. Made it to the lake under the peak by sunrise. So that was really cool to see the sun come up and hit those larch trees. Scott, kind of a rarity in the U.S. There's some in Montana, some in Idaho, and some in the Cascades in Washington here. But beautiful. Happy to get out there. And sounds like, I mean, I came back home, and this morning I woke up and watched the game. So I've been up since like 4:30, you know, no sleep. And looks like I made the right call yesterday, opting to go outside before winter comes for the mountains out here, because woof, what an ugly, ugly game, a snoozer from the Broncos offense.
It did look like a gorgeous day in Denver yesterday. Yeah. So I hope you all had fun, and Broncos country showed out well. You sounded well on the broadcast. One of the questions we had coming in is like, we don't know a lot about this Chargers team. You know, they're what, 2-2 or something. Their wins had come against, you know, the dregs of the NFL. They hadn't played many decent offenses. We don't really know that much about them. Their defense is pretty good. I think we can go ahead and say that their defense through five games. Now they still haven't faced, you know, again, they're not facing the top offenses, but I've seen enough to know that their defense is pretty good.
Yeah. As far as EPA per play, they've played the 29th, 27th, and 26th offenses so far. Now, part of that is because they played them well. The sample size is still small, so how you do is impacting what the data is there. Denver looked pretty much completely inept in the first half. It's the third time this season Denver has put up a goose egg on the scoreboard in the first half, which is just, it's honestly pretty shocking. The team is 3-3 when you say that, and look at that, just how inept they've been. And it's been a theme a lot this season. You know, Denver, especially this felt like the first 2 weeks of the season. You know, you're getting just extremely outclassed, and your offense can't do much of anything, can't do anything right. Turnovers, the first pass of the game is an interception. You finally have a good drive and Javonte Williams fumbles it. And then late, the defense goes into shell, you know, playing the boundaries, not giving anything deep. And, all of a sudden we have life on offense. Good to see the Broncos claw back. I think offensively, though, it's a little bit of a mirage. And if it gives them confidence to build on it, great. But it was obvious the Chargers changed what they were calling and doing. So I don't think it's really indicative of how they played or what they can do going forward. They got whipped. The offense.
No, this was a comprehensive win by the LA Chargers. I just, you know, that's forget the scores, box scores. If you look at the game cast and it says percentage of winning, they went into halftime with like a 97.8% chance of winning the game, and it never dropped below that over the course of the next 30 minutes of the game. You know, that said, it feels like, you know, you were talking about it felt like week one, week two or whatever, where you're just not getting anything done. And then what it felt like to me is what I'm trying to spit out. And I think I heard the announcer say it, but I was watching it on a condensed version, so it cut off. It felt just like last week against the Raiders. One of the things that you cannot put on paper, you cannot account for, is momentum, and is one of the big ones, and passion and energy and mental toughness. You can't put it on the screen and say, okay, you get a 10 there. Okay. The Raiders went down and we're on the verge of going up 17-0 like that. Snap of a fingers. What happened? Instead of going up and kicking a field goal and going up 13-0 or 17-0, pick six, fragile Raiders mentalities, they fold. And a mentally tough, I will say that, mentally tough Denver Broncos team then put the boot on their necks. This week, ball squirts out 10-0 inside the 10, and Herbert's able to grab it up, and they kick a field goal 13-0 and hold on to the momentum. And frankly, they're a better coached, more together unit, mentally tougher team. But you want to say, this reminded me of, and frankly, that they've been goose egged three times in the first half. That doesn't happen over the course of a year. That it's happened three times already is amazing. But they've come out like this a lot. The difference was a big play in your opponent. This was a mirror of the Raiders opening, the Raiders first quarter last year, Nick. Last week, Nick.
Yeah, the big difference is Raiders quarterback is Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell, and this one had Justin Herbert playing like a top five quarterback in the NFL. I mean, the Chargers go, I mean, Scott, it was unbelievable. 11 for 18 on third down, so it's crazy to even get them to third down 18 times. Granted, that's happening because they're converting, and it wasn't like it was constantly third and two either. I mean, Herbert was converting third and nine, third and seven, constantly.
Nick, it's worse than that because I never find a place for halftime statistics, so always make sure to screenshot them now.
Okay.
Okay. So at the half, the Chargers were 8 of 10 on third down.
20 play drive, Scott. They had a 20 play drive.
They were 8 of 10 on third down with 250 yards of total offense. 8 of 10.
Yeah.
You can't go 8 of 10 on third and one every time.
No.
I mean, that's. Herbert looked good for sure. Losing PS2 obviously is a blow. Well, that goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's one of those, this man needs no introduction, but I'm going to introduce him anyway type of sayings. Speaking of no introduction is our guy Troy coming in. He just announces his presence with authority. But he says, fan reactions are expectation driven. When we start talking playoffs, instead of being fortunate with a win with a rookie quarterback, those losses send fans in search of a scapegoat. Different camps find different scapegoats, whether it's Bo Nix, whether it's Sean Payton, the offensive line, the receivers, et cetera, et cetera. Troy, you are wise. And we had a comment. what was the win of the first win of the season? Who did the you went 0-2 and then you went out and
Tampa.
Beat
at Tampa.
Great win. That was a good win against Tampa. But, you know, we weren't over the moon. We're still pretty even keeled. Okay, this happens. The odds of you losing three games in a row, the odds of you winning four games in a row are pretty small in this league. Someone made the comment of in the chat, not in the chat, but afterwards on our videos, like, you guys suck after a big win. I'm like, yeah, but you know what else? After a loss, we're not going to be jumping off bridges either. You know, so we're pretty even keeled when it comes to what this team is. And this team is a rebuilding team with a rookie quarterback with $80 million of cap. And there's going to be ups and downs throughout the season. We know that. Those are our expectations. So I'm not going to wildly fluctuate week to week with a young team who's going to be inconsistent. Those are our expectations, and they should be yours.
Yeah, I mean, the offense kind of was what the offense has been for the most part, other than the Tampa Bay game this season. You know, Bo Nix, not always the best with the pocket presence and hitting the back of his drop and not getting the ball out. But also, I think he doesn't trust what he sees because the wide receivers aren't getting great separation. You're down to your fourth string offensive tackle on a backup center where Wattenberg was not very good at center this season, and Forsyth even worse from what we saw.
He wasn't bad yesterday, though.
I thought he was pretty mediocre.
Mediocre is okay, though. I mean, he wasn't a huge liability. I don't think he was like – I saw one time where he got manned up with – you know, and you don't want your center with a 350-pound nose guard. That's just bad news for most teams, where he got pushed back one-on-one. But otherwise, I thought he did okay.
I thought he got sloughed off of blockers too often, couldn't sustain him very well. But either way, I mean, we're not losing this game because of the center in this one. That's who's to blame? Is the offensive line, the wide receiver, Sean Payton, Bo Nix, all of them. Yes. What the defense looks like without Patrick Surtain. The Chargers, Scott, have as good as the defense has been this season, other than the kneel down to end the second half. They had four drives, and they scored four times. So now granted, you know, you have 10 points off turnovers there as well. You can't expect to win games with how bad the Broncos are offensively and lose a turnover battle. And they lost this one 2-0. But yeah, this was a terrible game. It's unfortunate that you have Thursday night around the corner. Although maybe it's fortunate too, Scott. I mean, with that one so close, you don't have time to dwell on it. It's like, okay, well, back to business. And we talked about it at the end of the Falcons show, Scott, after we just ended the Falcons show. This New Orleans game, I don't want to say it's a make or break, you know, for the season, not a must win by any means, but this definitely is a fork in the road game coming forward, because we've talked about that third section of the Broncos schedule coming up here, where you got Baltimore and Kansas City, I think on the road back to back coming up here. It could be the other order, but you have a New Orleans team who just gave up 51 to the Buccaneers, playing a rookie quarterback who, you know, he has some big throws out there. He's definitely a good thrower of the football, but he'll put it in harm's way as well. And you're going to be without Surtain. It's a short week. This is a fork in the road game. You fall to 3-4. Your odds of making the playoffs, or, you know, being competitive with the last two to three games of the season with something to play for, I don't think super high. And granted, anything can happen. It's a week-to-week league. But you win this one, you're still very much in the thick of things. So it's a huge game.
Yeah, you can win this game, and then you should beat the Panthers. There's no guarantees, but you should. You're sitting at 5-3. Okay. You know, but you lose this one. You know, the good news is through eight games, 4-4 looks worst case scenario. That's not bad. After week two, when the Saints had put up 100 points and the Broncos were sitting at 0-2, would we have given the Broncos a chance in hell of going into New Orleans and winning this game? Now we might pick them. We'll probably pick them when we pick games. But Troy, yeah, it's about expectations. And you mentioned scapegoats. That's basic psychology of human beings and of fans. It's easier for me to convince myself that if we just fix one thing, everything else will be okay. So it's this one person's fault. Fix that and we're all good. Doesn't quite work like that in reality, but that's how we fan ourselves into thinking. Michael Ranchio coming with the stars.
When you get beat as bad as the Broncos did in this one, it's kind of, you ever heard of a glitter bomb, Scott? It's like the things you send in your enemy in the mail and explodes and glitters everywhere. When you are as bad as the Broncos were in this one, it's a glitter bomb of sort. There is blame to go around for every single person in that building, in that room. And there are valid excuses where, you know, receivers not getting separation, not running the ball effective and early enough, you know, the game snowballing, the turnovers, Javonte Williams missing a screen pass, and the fumble, you know, the Broncos got beaten badly in this one, and it's just one game. You know, that I'm could move forward, but a lot of things can happen in one game. But again, is it all Bo Nix? Is it all Sean Payton? That's just, it's so reductionist. I don't know. It's not fair. And you're right. It is about the human psychology, looking for that one thing to blame everything. There's plenty of blame to go around. And the film this week, film study, film review, going to be rough. I'm sure it's happening today because it's a short week, but going to be a rough one with the coaches.
Yeah. Michael Ronquillo, good to see you. Says, good morning, Nick and Scott on Broncos for Breakfast. Go Broncos. Absolutely. Thank you for being here for us today, Michael. We appreciate the support. Nathan comes in. He says, morning, guys. Bo has similar numbers to Josh Allen's rookie season so far. Bo will be fine. We just need weapons around him and better play calling. Here's Nathan. This is an overview. I see this a lot. People are putting up Bo Nix's numbers compared to John Elway. Oh, his numbers are better than John Elway's, therefore he'll be better than John Elway. You know, no, that's nonsense. Rookie quarterbacks struggle. There are a few outliers where they don't. Jaden Daniels is off to a hot start. Okay, his look really good. He may not keep it up. He may not end up being the guy, but he's off to a good start right now. Here's this huge pool of quarterbacks. Most of them struggle early. Almost all of them. Some of them emerge. So the ones that emerge, I can grab on to that guy right there and say, look, his numbers are similar to this guy's. What about the 95% of them who never come out of that pool who have the same numbers as Bo Nix and Josh Allen did? Because most of them don't make it. So I can't draw that parallel. I can't say, oh, he has the same numbers as this guy, therefore he will be that guy. Doesn't work like that. So you have to start looking at things that make you feel good. What I see, Nick, from this team is I know they can execute when there's no pressure. Now, what do I mean by second half, game's over. Say what you want. We held them. We came back. No, you didn't. The game was decided, okay? What do I see at that point, though? I see a team playing loose. They knew the game was over. The Chargers knew the game was over. They're giving you a little bit more space. I'm seeing guys make tough catches, tough throws, good blocks. If I'm looking at highlight reels, I'm saying, I like this, I like this, I like this. Now, let's get them some experience. Let's get them some time together. Let's get them comfortable where they can start doing those things when the game is on the line. That doesn't typically happen in week 5 of a young team's season. But it's there. I've seen it. It's just, will we go from A to B? We don't know. We don't know. But I've seen enough to know that it is possible, Nick.
And I'll push back a little bit. I don't know if this is your interpretation of it. But I do think it does matter how the team came out in the second half and still competed. And it speaks to the culture and the guys that they have in the room. Because, I mean, you shared with me before we started the Falcons show this morning, Calvin Ridley. And his behavior and attitude, and I mean, I'll call it cancerous because it obviously is. And the Broncos getting just horrifically beat down in the first half. It'd be easy to come out and just be like, we need to get out of here. You know, just like lack of effort. You can see it in their eyes, body language. I didn't see that in this game. I mean, this, while the chances of coming back were slim and the Chargers played a style of defense that made it so the Broncos looked, as I think the stats in the second half are pretty hollow, even though it did come down to a kick, onside kick chance still there in the end. I mean, Chargers are playing the percentages there. They were not concerned about Denver coming back. So I think the stats are hollow, but with, you know, Bo Nix running around making plays, Cortland Sutton making an awesome catch. Shout out Troy Franklin. I believe first career NFL touchdown reception as well. They fought in this game. So there is stuff to build on internally with the culture, the heart, the type of guys in there. Not that you weren't saying that. I just wanted to add on.
I was like, if I said something that you talked about, it didn't matter. Apologize because I didn't. Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with anything you said.
Yeah,
what you said that it didn't matter what they did. The pressure is off.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like the game's not really on the line. Now, I opened up the show by saying Denver is mentally tough, without a doubt. The Raiders are not.
No.
So the first sign of adversity, they packed it up and went home. You know who else isn't? The Carolina Panthers, who are on your schedule. Give them a reason to quit, and they will. Chargers are better than that. The Chargers are better than that. The Broncos are mentally tough. They're not going to quit on you. They're going to fight, without a doubt. What I'm saying is I've seen them perform. It's just not in a high-pressure situation with a game on the line where I've seen these, at least this week,
yeah,
where I've seen things that I like from the offense. Bo Nix making throws, Bo Nix moving with his legs, and receivers making plays when given the opportunity. The problem is this team is not good enough to beat yourself too. You cannot have penalties. You cannot have turnovers. Cannot. Not yet.
Yeah.
Once you add some more pieces to this offense, wide receivers, tight end, running back, then you can survive those mistakes. You can't right now. And there were too many mistakes from this Broncos offense in the first half.
Yeah, and I mean, there's plenty of excuses why Nick's struggled in this game. It's still only his sixth game. This Chargers defense has been one of the top five in the NFL. They had an extra week to prepare for this game as well. And you're shooting yourself in the foot with turnovers. But I think it's fair to say we keep having the same conversation. Nick's has not played well. Even for a rookie quarterback, he's playing below average for a rookie. There are valid reasons for that as well. Offensive line, lack of weapons. Something I was concerned about coming into this with Sean Payton is that he's never had a rookie quarterback, and he has one of the most verbiage intensive playbooks of any play caller in football. That might be partly because the Shanahans are a little bit more basic. It's a lot of different looks, but getting to the same stuff. So they're not asking their quarterback to do as much. It's one reason that somebody like, who was the quarterback? Sorry to bring this up, Scott, the quarterback that the Vikings brought in last year and beat the Falcons.
Right off the MARTA station, Josh Dobbs. Yeah.
Dobbs, you can't have that happen.
Plays in the rubber pellets at Mercedes-Benz and beating the Atlanta Falcons after he's been in the system for 2 days.
It's hard to do that with Sean Payton. The Kyle Shanahan tree, it's a little easier to do that. and McVay tree, but it's hard. So has Nick's played good? No, he has not. Overall, but how much does it matter? Does it mean he's going to be a terrible quarterback in the NFL? Absolutely not. Also, I saw enough in this game with, again, the physicality, the heart, the athleticism, the playmaking that I think if you get a little bit of better weaponry, he starts to trust his eyes a little bit more, know where to go with the ball and trust his receiver getting open at that spot when he hits the drop back. I think things can look a little different, but I mean, it sounds like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. It's just because both things are true. He's not been good. He's playing below average for what a rookie is. There are reasons for it. It doesn't mean that he's going to not be a franchise quarterback. This was a tough game. We got
jury
a long
is still out on Bo Nix.
Of course. How could it not be? I mean, jury's still out on Jaden Daniels for the other end of things.
Absolutely.
As you mentioned. He's going to get the rest of the season. The defense is good enough that he should get the rest of the season. It's not going to be like Denver is. I mean, probably not. Got knock on wood, but only three wins. They don't win another game until like week 14. That's like, okay, well, Nix has been horrible. We better see what we have in Zach Wilson. That's so improbable. It's like writing, fantasy out there.
The jury is in on this guy, though.
Absolutely. I mean,
right here, it's in guilty.
I was guilty
as charged of Naj. Naj, thank you so much for supporting the show. Guilty of being one of the best members of the MHH community. He says, "Hey, brothers, D did not recover from PS2, his concussion going out early until half, but VJ made adjustments. Peyton's early script is failing side to side like a windshield wiper. Javonte's confidence is gone. Mims is MIA, but lot of season left. Peyton has to use Nix's legs more to get early first downs. You can't turn the ball over. You can't have penalties. And those are drive killers. And no, the defense did not stop. You know, and how much of that would Sertan have made a difference of early on? Well, we've seen him when he's out there, and defense is pretty good. Defense wasn't good in the first half. It's okay to say that.
Yep.
They're not going to be good every single drive. And PS2 being gone, arguably the defensive player of the year in the NFL to this point, a guy who you build an offense around where I can then scheme an entire other half of the field because this guy's over here, it matters. Mm-hmm. It matters. It absolutely matters. Yeah. This team needs weaponry, without a doubt. Depending on what happens with the offensive line, my number one for this team that we've been saying for months now, Nick, is a wide receiver. You get your quarterback, you got to build around him now. And you got Sutton, and then you got some guys.
Yep. Yeah, I'm with you. And I got a good comment here from Joey saying, "I'll judge Bo after next season when we actually have more money to spend in a good draft. The way Sean Payton talks about him, with the upcoming quarterback classes, the way the team's going, but unless something crazy happens, because you never can actually predict the future, things happen. But the reality is this season is all about, getting Bo Nix comfortable in the NFL. And you hope along the way that you are competitive and maybe can make a playoff run. And if you get in the playoffs, God bless. That's awesome. The defense has been much better than we expected. So that does change the perspective on the team. But as far as the offense goes, it's still a similar perspective. Now, I think the offense is a little bit worse than I thought it would be. I'm a little bit surprised, some of the accuracy for Knicks has been a little less than I thought it would be. Some of the pocket stuff. But again, there's, I think if you look at the tape, there is reasons that you can point to it. And it's, those are areas that you can, in theory, improve upon as well. Now, 24 quarterback, that many starts, you know, maybe it's less likely than a 20-year-old who's a little bit more raw, but we don't know. We're going to let the games play out. And the main point here is it's probably going to be, you know, a year plus 3 weeks from now when we'll have enough of a sample size over different iterations where they've actually been able to get Bo a full season in the NFL offseason program, build the offense a little around him a little bit more. And at that point, especially, you know, at the end of next season, we should know. But that's, I mean, this is what you sign up for when you draft a rookie quarterback, unless they look like Josh Rosen out there, excuse me, who not only doesn't have the stats, but also doesn't have the tools to fall back on as well. You know, that's something that then you move on, but we have a long way to go.
Well, especially when you draft a rookie quarterback, Nick, as the first part of your rebuild, you know, now you've got to put pieces around him. The next part of this is you got to get him weaponry. You know, you've built the offensive line. You've put some resources in the offensive line, but you haven't really put any into the weapons around him. I mean, you drafted Javonte Williams high. Injuries happen. But the top 100 picks that you've given up over the last three seasons are showing themselves, plus an $80 million cap hit on that. Now, Christopher, I see you. I want to get to this, but we keep talking about the offense. I don't want to talk about the offense anymore. I want to talk about the defense. Nick, we don't give Jonathan Cooper enough credit.
No, he's awesome. I mean, we don't give him enough credit.
We still look at that seventh round. He's an overachiever. This, and this. Forget it. I don't want to talk about his draft status anymore, other than it was a hit as a draft because he's good. Jonathan Cooper's freaking good. I'm watching him attack the quarterback. I'm watching him getting used in coverage. Jonathan Cooper is a ball player. I have not given him enough credit for how good he has become for the Denver Broncos this year. I'm a big fan of Malcolm Roach too. I think he is a disruptor. He's athletic as hell. We've talked plenty about Zach Allen. Love him. That can stop there. But Jonathan Cooper is a plus player. Forget the, okay, he's a guy you'd like to be number three, the first guy coming off the bench anymore. No.
He's a fine number two.
He's a player in this league, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to be contending for all pros, but I think he's a very good player, and Denver should definitely try to re-sign him to that, maybe a Jonathan Greenard market out there with the Vikings, whatever he got paid. I think that's probably a similar contract, and the longer you wait, the more expensive it's going to be. Another guy who deserves a shout-out too, Scott, is Nick Benito. With Browning going down, granted, you know, the edge setting is still an issue with Benito, but he's not as bad as he was as a rookie. It's something he's worked on. It'll always be not a positive for him, but he got his, I believe, a sack for a fourth straight game, which is the first time that's happened since Von Miller was here. So, I mean, his speed rush is, he's one of the better true speed rushers in the NFL. Benito
looked really good too.
Yeah. So he deserves a shout out as well.
I don't know if it's the number, but he looks bigger.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, I'm not used to that number yet. I'm like, he looks bigger in that 15 out there. But yeah, the front five that they rotate in and out, the offense is worse than I expected at this stage as far as the numbers that they would put up. The defense is exponentially better than what I was expecting for this season. Now, they didn't have a great first half. It happens. Over the course of the entire season, where they are and the personnel that are stepping up and saying, okay, where do I need help? Not Jonathan Cooper. No, he needs a new contract. He needs to be a Bronco for a long time.
Yeah, and after this game, obviously gave up four scoring drives out of five, and one of them was just a kneel down to end the half. That's not good. But Denver falls from the third-ranked defensive EPA team to the fourth after this game. So still a very good defense overall. Chargers still there at two. Denver's offense, 26th in the NFL in EPA per play. And 27th in pass and 22 in run. So the offense just overall not getting it done, but the defense will keep them in it, no doubt. And you just played a Chargers team. I mean, every single button they pushed was right. And also, Scott, this is a game where Not that, again, this is not that Nick's can't be a franchise quarterback, but Herbert played like a franchise quarterback. It was third and long constantly. He was getting pressured and having to throw off his back foot and making plays left and right. I mean, he was, wasn't like Star Wars numbers or anything, but and they don't really have the weaponry to put up Star Wars numbers, but he was dealing. Herbert was a superstar in this game, and he played like what you want a franchise quarterback to do. And I think that was the biggest difference. I mean, he made play after play in adverse situations, and Denver doesn't have that right now.
Christopher coming in with a super chat. He says, I can see consistency is attainable with this team. Yeah. Like I was saying, Chris, this team's not good enough. They don't have the weaponry to dig themselves out of holes. They can't have penalties. They can't go first and 15. They can't go first and 20 after a holding call. They can't take a tackle for loss. That's just, they're not built like that. They don't have the guys to get downfield yet on a consistent basis. But again, I'm okay with Bo Nix. I am. I'm not going to say, there's no way I can look at this team and say Bo Nix is a problem. You cannot do that. No. He might be, but I don't know that yet. One, he doesn't have enough experience as a rookie quarterback. And two, the weaponry around him isn't good enough to judge the quarterback. And no one is ever going to confuse Justin Herbert's arm with Bo Nix's arm. It's two different guys. Justin Herbert has a much better arm. That said, going back to baseball, I can take two pitchers. This guy throws 95. This guy throws 92. This guy's got the better arm. He's got the better stuff. This guy's a better pitcher. This guy gets more outs. This guy is more effective. Bo Nix can be that guy without ever being Justin Herbert. And that's okay, because Justin Herbert, the detractors just say, well, what the hell has Justin Herbert ever done besides look pretty throwing the ball?
I mean, now that they actually have a defense, it's not going to be bottom five. And
I know, but like I said, the detractors.
Yeah. I mean, you know me. I've always been a big Herbert fan. We'll see what happens now that he is essentially being relegated to Andrew Luck with Stanford, kind of, right? It's through the run game first and with defense. But as we're seeing with Patrick Mahomes, that can win some games. And unfortunately, this is just one game, and Denver's going to get another chance at the Chargers. And the Chargers do not have a great home field environment. And I'm sure there'll be as much orange in there as a powder blue. But Denver's going to get another chance at them. Unfortunately, coming out of this game, though, it does seem like there's a clear difference between where Denver is at and where the Chargers are at in Denver. Maybe I won't say they're closer to the Raiders, but the Chargers in this game and overall look like a definitively better team than Denver. We still got a lot of football to go, though, folks. Show Low Man comes in and says, Herb backpedaled on 15 yards and throws a rope to Ladd. Yeah, that was one thing, too. It's we saw some escapability from Nix in this game, and I appreciate the toughness that he had. We're still needing to get to the point where it's not escaping the pocket and using the athleticism to be a runner. That's good from time to time. But when you're seeing as many stacked boxes as Denver is, it's not like the deep shell coverage, like where Patrick Mahomes, there's nobody around him after he breaks that first line, right? So he's picking up the yards and there's deep covers. There should be options down the field to go get some chunk plays. But Nix is tucking his head and running, which, you know, positive play in the end, but you might be missing some stuff down the field as well. That's fine. That's we're talking football 101 versus 301 here.
It's the difference between a runner and a scrambler, Nick.
Yeah.
A scrambler scrambles to throw. Someone with athleticism will run to get yardage. You know, a scrambler wants to escape and look down the field. Russell Wilson was always more of a scrambler than a runner when he was making his bit, when in his prime, making the big plays.
Yeah. So again, it's things that we want to see from him. Again, it's just so hard to judge him. Is Nick's playing great football? No. But it's his sixth start, and it was a Chargers team that had answers for him, and you're playing backup offensive line, two of the three spots. You miss Quinn Bailey, Alex Palchetsky, Mike McGlinchey. You're technically on your fourth right tackle in the pecking order compared to where the season came in. And you're just really lacking difference makers at the offensive skill position. I mean, none of these guys are dictating coverage from what they do, and that's a big help for a rookie quarterback. Not like necessarily like Calvin Johnson or like Jamar Chase, where you can just like spam him, but somebody who's good enough that's like, if you play cover one man coverage, if I read cover one, I'm tossing it to him. You know, it's, or if you have to play two shells with somebody leaning his way, essentially doubling.
Sutton,
you
don't can have be that guy, but Sutton's not going to get single coverage because there's nobody else that scares you.
Yeah.
So if you had two Suttons, great. You know, I think Sutton is still underrated by Broncos country for the most part. If you had another one just like him, and this is when people say, well, we had one, he's playing in Detroit. If you had another one just like him, they would both become more effective because Sutton makes some unbelievably acrobatic catches in traffic when he's single covered. He gets the ball when he's single covered.
Yeah.
And he catches it. You know, that play he made for the touchdown was jaw dropping, yesterday.
Yeah.
What, he had three of those last year?
Yeah. He's an unbelievable athlete. It's kind of like a basketball Scott, where if you have one player, one really good shooter or something, you know, they can defensively scheme that away. If you have two though, just the spacing changes dramatically. And right now Denver just doesn't have that. I know Sean Payton at New Orleans was able to get away with that a little bit more. We're having one guy you funnel the football, but I don't know if the game's that way anymore with how much nickel, white boxes, and two high safety shells. You know, it's so hard to create explosives out there, and they definitely need another weapon, no doubt. Now, will Denver lean that way? I don't know. It feels like Sean Payton probably goes the old school way with the offensive line, but we'll see.
Let's get to Brandon Williams. Real quick.
Yeah, Brandon Williams. I think we need to start throwing in early downs. I think we should get behind the sticks early because the run isn't working. I'd have to look at the efficiency here and look at the box count too, Brandon. I think that I would like to see them still run because you are dealing with backup offensive line, and I don't want Nick's dropping back 50 times a game. I think that's a recipe for disaster, especially with how the offensive line is dealing with so many injuries right now. I would like to see them utilize a little bit more quarterback run options on early down, zone read, quarterback power,
true RPOs,
RPOs, reverses with Marvin Mims. I mean, that's one of the few things he's done well offensively. It was good last week. It worked.
Beat a guy in the 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage that had him dead to rights.
It's
Marvin Mims is a tell. They started doing that last year, and every time Marvin Mims was in the game, oh, here comes the reverse. And they were killing him. They had him this time too. So yes, Marvin Mims on this jet sweep or something, if you at least throw him downfield a few times too. Otherwise, it's too obvious.
Well, Denver right now, and Sean Payton talked about it a bit, but they're one of the least pre-snap motion teams in the NFL because that's hard on rookie quarterbacks to utilize. So they don't use a lot of pre-snap motion. And that's something that, I mean, just adding the eye candy there and creating different lanes with that pre-snap motion, you don't even he can be a decoy 10 plays in a row on that kind of look, Scott. If it holds a linebacker for half a second, that makes a big difference. And then, you know, you can the run off of it, you can pass off of it. I just think a little bit more, they need to be a little bit more creative to get lanes in the run game. But I mean, the run game in this week was effective. The issue is that they couldn't get off the freaking field and you're turning the ball over immediately. But I mean, Denver
and
ran the ball fine. Overall, the efficiency wise, rushing the football, 6.1 yards per carry. I mean, only 18 rushes compared to 38 for the Chargers. That's a game script issue more than anything.
And penalties. Again, you can't
penalties.
And this is why people are letting you run the ball these days, is because they don't think you can have a 15 play drive for scoring at 6 yards per carry without making a mistake. And Brandon, I just think you got to push the ball downfield a little bit more often. I've said that since the very first game. And the first play, I think, against Tampa Bay, right downfield, 20-yard gain. Wow. And it just opens things up. You cannot play football in a phone booth with this team right now. Maybe you can if you got the old hogs from the Denver Broncos know about, rushing for 2,000-yard rushers. Naj, thanks for coming back in again, my friend. Says, who do we re-sign, Cooper or Benito? Both. Yes, both. I think Browning is out. You can't trust him. Cortland extension. He's kind of already got one. So I'd let him play off on that. It's so funny. These things just kind of slide by. Okay. He's kind of in a mini hold in. Talk about him wanting a little bit more money. He got it. But then what happens a couple weeks later and almost nobody talks about it? They go ahead and convert his salary into a signing bonus and extend his contract, basically guaranteeing his money, which is all he wanted to begin with. You know, and almost no one mentioned the fact that that's actually happened. Oh, Cortland, you know, restructured his contract again. So he's done it like twice this offseason. And that was basically all he wanted to begin with, was to have that money guaranteed, which they did anyway. Anyway, I think it's kind of already happened. Am I giving Cortland an extension right now? No, I'm not. I'm not. I might think he could be a trade value because he's getting older. So let's see how he goes. And he's expensive. The jury is still out of Knicks, but I argue Peyton has to show improvement in how he uses Knicks, without a doubt. We have a playoff team barring injuries. Stay positive. Injuries are a big part of it, though. And the $80 million dead cap hit cuts into your depth in a big way. Everybody battles injuries. You're missing $8, $10 million players, and I think you've only got four on your team right now. So it's tough, Naj. You're going out there with a third of your available players out because they're standing on the sidelines in Pittsburgh.
Yep. It's tough. This is when you draft a rookie quarterback, you have to have the stomach to go through it. And just because Knicks is out there right now and he gets more time does not mean that he will automatically figure things out and all of a sudden become this perennial top 10 guy. But even though the overall results of the offense have been poor, 5 of 6 weeks, so far, that doesn't mean that he's going to be a bust either. I mean, this is a tough situation for rookie to be. It's one reason I didn't want to take a rookie quarterback this round, Scott. I looked at the infrastructure of the team. I'm like, are we even going to be able to utilize the rookie contract here? And I wasn't as big of a fan of the quarterbacks after the first three off the board, in this last class. But neither here nor there. That doesn't matter. Sean Payton loves Bo, and they're going to try to figure it out with Bo, and we'll hope for the best. And there have been enough positives from the arm that we saw in preseason, the quick game, the accuracy, the stuff that is an issue that wasn't as much of an issue on tape at Oregon that I think can be corrected. And then just the athleticism. I think the athleticism plays, it's good enough to buy you time to figure things out. It's not like he's, you know, Josh Allen rushing the football as like a power player, or Jaden Daniels, Cam Newton, Lamar Jackson, but it's enough of a positive that it gives you the ability to be right even when you're wrong on some offensive plays. And hopefully it'll continue to improve, and it should improve, because the next 2 weeks, Scott, pretty poor defenses coming up. I mean, you saw Tampa Bay, how much did they put up against the Saints, Scott? Did you see that? It was like 50 points.
It was 51. They got a scoop and score fumble in there too, on what basically should have been a personal foul on a crown to the side of the head on Chris Olave. So that ended up being, it was real tight, bang, bang, where it looked like a catch. And then the safety came in while he was engaged, and the top of his helmet just ear-holed him. And that's what knocked him out of the game. And Olave is probably going to miss this game. And I said, I was watching, I put out on Twitter, I was like, I don't think the helmet-to-helmet is a reviewable play. So to be fair, I probably would have called it incomplete, because that should have been a personal foul. And it should have been Saints ball. But yeah, they and Baker, they did all that with Baker still throwing three interceptions.
Yeah.
Crazy. So the Saints are banged up right now too, because the Saints defense early was something that they could count on. And right now they can't. So the Saints defense is banged up as well. And watch your asses. They're dirty, man. They're dirty.
Yeah. That's we'll see what happens. Unfortunate game for Denver. Again, we're not going to get too high or too low on this team for the perspective that we had preseason. I think even though this was a bad game from the defense, something that we have changed our perspective on is this defense is a lot better than we thought it would be. But as far as the offensive side, there is ample holes on this team on top of the dead cap hit and the misses in adding to the roster. And it's a work in progress right now, no doubt. Aren't we all? But again, not a great game from Knicks. Was happy to see him add to it. And there's just not enough help around him right now also. Now, at some point, it does cross the line of being a reason to an excuse, right? But I don't think we're there yet at this point in his career with where the roster is and watching it right now. There's reasons for struggles. Now, if he was, you know, Patrick Mahomes level quarterback and struggling like this, then there'd be a little bit more leeway for him. But obviously, long way to go, things to build on. A bad game. Thank God. Honestly, I said it earlier that it's like maybe it's not good to return around. I'm changing that, Scott. Thank God we got Thursday Night Football because we can put this one in the rearview mirror real quick. If we sit there and if you told me, Scott, preseason, would you take 3-3 out of the first six games? You bet your ass. I think that's the perspective. Granted, we had them winning 5-6 games, but 3-3 is not a bad spot to be for where they're at right now.
Yeah, I was 2-4. Because I had the losses to I figured they'd win one of that bunch between Seahawks, Steelers, Buccaneers, and then get the Raiders would be the 2-4. But I think I had them beating the Chargers coming out. Losing the Chargers, I don't remember. But again, through the course of the season, we both had 6-11. Looking down the schedule now, and as Troy says, I'm actually excited for next year with so many rookies getting experience, draft picks next year, and cap space. Those are all good things. Looking at this defense, it's going to keep you in every game, and I do think the offense will improve. And then looking at your opponents, like the Saints, who have now lost 4 in a row, I think, after the 2-0 start, I think this is an 8 or 9 win team now. I've adjusted based on the newer information that comes in, because they should be in most games. But Troy, yes, it should be. The offseason will be a lot of fun for this. You're still, you save about $30 million in cap space by moving on from Russell Wilson next year. You're still taking a decent sized cap hit, but you're saving a lot of money rather than having him on the team. And Coach Chris brings up a stock down that we haven't really talked about. And again, all I mentioned was the penalties, you know, the false starts, the holdings, all of those things that you cannot. Well, one of the main culprits of this, Nick, was, as Coach Chris says, good morning. If I were Garrett Bowles, I'd be embarrassed. No excuses for the false starts, the holds, and overall lack of effort. He's another Wilson. Love you guys. On to next week. It is this week. This week. We're like 3 days away from football again. Hard on the body, but it's good for the soul.
Yeah. Thank God it's coming up. And yeah, it's not a good game from Bowles. No doubt. Appreciate everyone coming in. We got to get on out of here. I got to get on baby duty. We got RTLT as well. Right tackle, left tackle, retweet LT. I don't know, but thank you so much for the support, RTLT, coming in over there on YouTube. Shout out to everybody who came in today, supported us. Nathan Johnson, Michael Ronquillo, of course. Troy Boer, a few times of the big time ones. Christopher, good to see you. Sholo Man, Brandon Williams, Naj, of course, our guy, Coach Chris, and RTLT right there at the end. Make sure you guys are following Scott and I on Twitter. Scott's at Scout Kennedy. I'm at Nick Kendall, MHH. Also follow us at Mile High Huddle if you haven't done so yet. We're also at Facebook.com/Mile High Huddle and Facebook.com/Mile High Huddle Pod. And as that ticker says there underneath, please subscribe, like, and share over on YouTube. I got to get out of here. It's time to go be the dad, right? Got to get everything going for the morning. It's Monday. So appreciate everyone. Have a great rest of your weeks. Unfortunately, loser Monday, but you know, maybe we'll have a victory Friday. We'll see. So
we're 3 days away from football.
Hell yeah. We got to flush it clean.
Can you do Friday, Nick? We'll talk about it right now live. We're here Friday morning for the after the game.
I need to talk with the boss before I can even have any conversation there.
Right now we're planning on having a Broncos for breakfast react. God, that's early though, because they do the gut reaction at like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see on that.
Yeah. Yep, we'll see. TBD. So appreciate everyone. Have a great rest of your Monday. Sad Nick. Sad Nick needs some sleep so he can be glad Nick again. But he was glad Nick yesterday out in the mountains, so it was a good time. Appreciate everyone. Have a great rest of your day. Continue to choose kindness and compassion. Go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos. Good morning, Broncos country.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.